Our text is in John chapter 11. John 11. This morning I want to look with you at our Lord's speaking with Martha. The title of this message is, I am the resurrection and the life. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior. I am the resurrection and the life. Now we're told in verse 17 that when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. This is referring to Lazarus, who had been sick and he died and was buried now 4 days in his grave. And our Lord delayed his coming. He had received word from Martha and Mary, the two sisters of Lazarus, and they said to him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And that's a good petition of the Lord's people. Whatever our petition is, whatever weighs on our heart, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. We come to him not because of our love for him or our wants or needs. We come to him because he loves us. He loves his people. This is a trial for Martha. It's a trial for the family, and we're looking at Martha. It's a trial for Martha, and we all can identify, we can relate to Martha because we too have trials. Many trials. And we go through trials, and all our trials, as it is of the Lord's hand, it's of the Lord's hand, as it is with Martha. All our trials are of the Lord's hand. We can actually see that the Lord received word and didn't give word to heal Lazarus. And he delayed his coming, and so that Lazarus died and was buried. He controls this whole trial. Lazarus didn't even need to become sick if the Lord willed, but he allowed him to become sick, and he put Martha in a great trial. And the Lord's hand in giving us trials is to make us to know what so very few know, that Jesus Christ is all my life, all my salvation. He meets every need. He's made everything to the child of God. And we learn this through the trials that he brings us to see, where we're made to lean upon our Lord. We're made to petition our Lord. The faith which he's given to us is tried, and it's found by his grace in his people. So we're going to know Christ, who is our resurrection and our life. Your God, who is the good shepherd, shall see to it. He shall see to it that you know that he's my resurrection. He's my life. He's all my salvation, everything I need. So Christ came and found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. And so he did this with purpose, with purpose. Everything our Lord does is with purpose. Do you believe this? Your God and your Savior moves with purpose. We're told in the second half of verse 41, if you look there, John 11, in the middle of 41, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Our God, our Lord, moves with purpose that we may know that our God has sent him for us, for our need to put away our sin and to bring us, to deliver us from death, and bring us into life, the life, who is the resurrection and the life of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here with Martha, he's going to reveal to her convincingly with power, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. I'm your resurrection. I'm your life, Martha. Now in Romans 15:4, we're told that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so just as our Lord is teaching Martha here that he is the resurrection and the life, so he's teaching you, his people whom he loves, that he is the resurrection and the life. Not only do we read it in his word, but we hear it in the messages which he brings to us and feeds us with, and we learn it through the trials which he gives to us on purpose to make us to know, to experience that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is our resurrection and our life, where every one of his children are going to know he's my Savior. I need him. I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself, but it's Christ who put away my sin, and it's Christ who gives me life and makes me to know him. All by his grace and mercy, he does this. And so, through it all, our Lord is faithfully teaching us. He's continually teaching us. He's bringing us to see that he is our all over and over again. Now, we're told in verses 18 and 19, it says, Bethany, this is where Martha and Mary lived and where Lazarus had lived and was now buried. Bethany was nigh or near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And 7.5 furlongs is a mile. So it's 2 miles, only 2 miles away. It's not very far from Jerusalem at all. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, we're given this detail of the proximity of Jerusalem because it's informing us that some of the people that were there, some of the Jews there, came from Jerusalem. They came from Jerusalem. It was common that among the Jewish custom that when someone died, people would gather, they would come to them and sit with them in silence until the mourning person had spoken. But they would come and sit with them and mourn with them. And for some, it would be family and friends who knew the one who died or knew the mourners, those people who mourned. And for others, it was also a good deed. It was a meritorious deed in their minds. It was pious. It was piety to come and sit with the mourners, that God would recognize them doing some good deed and that he would bless them in some way. So there's a variety of people that are here. Now in verse 20, we're told that detail that of the proximity of Jerusalem, and you'll recall that our Lord had said things and done things very recently that upset and angered the Jews, especially among the Pharisees. They were angry at Christ, and they would have taken him. They would have killed him had they been able to. And so now our Lord is coming near to Jerusalem by going to Bethany, only a couple miles away. So verse 20 says, Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So Mary wasn't aware that Christ had drawn near, but Martha, being the busier one, typically the one running things and always stirring and going about doing things, she would have received that person with the news and was told, your Lord is near, he's coming, he's near. And she goes out to meet her Lord. And so it's likely that the reason why she went out instead of staying in is because there were some there from Jerusalem who hated the Lord, who hated him and would have put him to death previously had they been able. They wouldn't have been happy to see Christ there. And so Martha goes out. and she speaks with her Lord. And we're actually told, the reason why I say that is because in verse 46, if you look there, it says, after they had seen that miracle of our Lord raising Lazarus from the dead, verse 46 says that some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So we see that in some that were there, at the witnessing the raising of Lazarus from the dead, they bore rotten, stinking fruit out of their own corrupt, vile flesh. Out of the nature of man, they can behold Christ raise someone from the dead, and left to themselves, they see, this is terrible. This is horrible what this man has done. And they ran off to the Pharisees, who then counted that miraculous work, which only God can do, and said, he's worthy of death. We've got to put this man to death, as we'll get to at a later time. And so we see there how man left to himself, who doesn't know the Lord, who doesn't hear the voice of Christ, he bears and continues to bear rotten, corrupt, vile, stinking fruit. And our Lord said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. But to you, whom the Lord lovest, to you who are sick with sin and need a Savior, and need salvation, which only He provides for His people, and you see in Christ all the fitness that God requires, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. So Martha, here, she's a child of God. She believes that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ sent of God. And she gladly went out, therefore, to see her Lord, to meet her Lord, to greet her Lord, and to be comforted by Him. And when she comes to the Lord, she expresses words of great faith. Great faith. First, in verse 21, we're told that Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, this is born out of what's pressing on her heart. It's probably been on her heart for days. Her and her sister, Mary, have probably said this to one another repeatedly. Because Martha, in verse 32, says the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In the second half of that verse, she said the same thing. So they probably were saying, oh, if the Lord was here, I know he would heal Lazarus. I know he would make him well. And that expresses some level of faith. They believe that he was able to heal their brother. But we also see her express great faith, where she says, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. That's great faith. That's great faith that she has. She believes that even there, whatever Christ asked, whatever Christ willed to do, he was able to do it. She maybe didn't fully understand that he is God right yet, but she knew he's able. God will give him whatever he asks of the Lord. Now, as I was thinking about it, I had always remembered Martha for what sounded like a waver in her faith, a weakness in Martha in this account that we're given. If you remember when the Lord commanded that the stone be rolled away from the mouth of the tomb where Lazarus lay, she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. She said that out loud, out loud. And that, I believe, was wrought in her to make known to all the witnesses there about what they were going to witness. This man has been dead 4 days, Lord. He stinks by now. He's corrupting. His body's decaying away even now. So that they understood, here's this smelly man, this corrupt flesh, this rotting flesh, that is lying in darkness, that Christ was going to raise that one from the dead. No man can do that. Only God can do that work. And it pictures what the Lord does for us. We are the rotting, corrupt, vile flesh that can do nothing, that lay in darkness. And you can lay in darkness your whole life. And if Christ wills, gives his word, you shall be raised from spiritual death unto spiritual life. So she's a woman. This Martha is a woman of great faith, saying, I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She didn't tell the Lord to raise Lazarus. Martha, by this time, was humbled by the Lord. She had been instructed and taught by her Lord, and she was humbled. If you remember in Luke 10, she had complained to the Lord when the Lord she received Christ into her home. And then she began to serve and provide for all those people that came into the home with Christ. And she went and complained to the Lord, saying, Lord, my sister, Mary's not helping me. She's left me to do all this work. And Christ said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're full of care and worry, and you've brought this burden on yourself about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha was well instructed by her Lord. Well, she was chastened by the Lord just there. That's right. He whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son and daughter whom he receiveth. He teaches and instructs his people. So she learned humility by the instruction and teaching of our Lord, and so she's very careful in her demands of the Lord. She just comes in and petitions him in that manner, saying, Lord, I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Even now, Lord, even now. So we see this good fruit. I believe she hoped that Christ would raise her brother from the dead. And she bears this fruit of faith in confessing this to the Lord. And the Lord had taught her previously, but the Lord wasn't done teaching Martha. She hadn't learned all there was to learn. He's still pruning Martha. He's teaching Martha and growing Martha even more. Look what he says here in response to her great faith in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall rise again. Now, that's a pretty general statement, right? We're not sure what the Lord means. He's going to rise again. When is he going to rise again, Lord? I know he's going to rise again at the last day, or are you going to raise him again right now? When, Lord? When are you going to raise Lazarus from the dead? He says your brother's going to rise again, but we don't know when he's going to rise again. And so in this we see how that the Lord prunes his people to bear more fruit. They bear more fruit under the direction, under the command of the Lord, in order that they bring forth more fruit. They're pruned to bring forth more fruit. He'll say in John 15, verse 1 and 2, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Right? He just removes it. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. In other words, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. And so our Lord has brought Martha to this time of trial where she does bear fruit. She expresses the faith which the Spirit had wrought in her, which God had given to her. He gave her faith, and she believed the Lord. She trusted the Lord. So that with great confidence she exclaimed, I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And then our Lord said those words in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. And what does it do? What fruit does it produce in her? to petition him again, to go back to him again. She says in verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know this, Lord. Is that what you mean? Is that what you mean, Lord? She goes and petitions her Lord. She continues to seek her Lord, bearing more fruit, seeking the Lord who alone can answer these questions, who alone can do for us what we need him to do for us. Now, every child whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he humbles them, and he brings his children into very trying providences, very difficult circumstances. He does this for all his children whom he loves. You know, I remember when the Lord began to stir me up to seek him. When he began to stir me and stir in me to seek him, to see that I need him. And I remember how the Lord would answer prayers very quickly. I would pray to him about something and it would be answered very quickly. And as time went on and I began to the Lord began to reveal himself more and more to me, those prayers were answered with greater infrequency, if you will, the way I thought they should be answered. And as I went through new trials and was brought through difficult circumstances, the pace at which the Lord answered those began to lengthen. And I would reflect on the things I had learned, and I would begin to learn new things and more things. And eventually, as time went on, there's prayers I've prayed that, as far as I can tell, haven't even been answered yet. Not the way that I thought they should be answered, but the Lord has taught me through it all. And that's what he does to all his people. He gives us patience and experience and makes it so that we're able and sit in silence before the Lord. But we trust the Lord. Not my will, Lord. Not my will be done, but thy will be done, Lord. And we learn that through the Lord's teaching us and instructing us and showing us that he is Lord. And we don't need to see the things that we needed to see long ago. We don't need to see him that way. We're content that the Lord is the Lord. And whatsoever he does all things well. And he blesses us in ways that we could never have asked or imagined. And he teaches us and shows us always that he is the resurrection and the life. And so we don't always know what the will of our God is concerning a matter. And we can't just pray and expect that the Lord's going to answer it, especially the way we think it should be answered and the way it should unfold. But like Martha, we're brought to return to the Lord. And to petition the Lord, and to lean upon him and wait upon him more and more with the desire that he would reveal himself in his wisdom, in his power, that he is the resurrection, our resurrection, that he is our life, so that we see and know in the Spirit, trusting that he is the Lord, and he's doing that which pleases him and is for the good of his people and even my good as well. And so we watch and we wait. We wait upon the Lord. And the Lord says something to Martha which reveals Christ to his people who are in deep and difficult trials. He reveals to his people that he is Christ while they're in deep and difficult trials, that he's our life. That we need him. I don't need the resolution that I was thinking of in the flesh. I need the Lord. I want the Lord. I'm thankful for how the Lord is teaching me. And that's what he brings his people to see, to find that Christ is all our love, our joy, our comfort, even through the raging and difficult trial. You couldn't do that when you didn't know him, and you probably didn't do it very well when you first began to seek him by his grace. But as he grows you, you're able to trust the Lord. You trust him because he's an anchor of the soul, and he keeps you. He keeps you, and he doesn't let you go. So what he says to Martha is in verse 25 and 26, he saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So our Lord teaches us this sweet resolve that he's all my life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is Christ now. That's what he was taught. That's what he was brought to see. Christ is all. I'm dead. I am dead. But Christ is all my life. And so there's a peace which our Lord gives his child in discovering over and over again, more deeply each time, the grace of our God that he so richly blessed us with in Christ. In Colossians 1, 26 and 27, Paul speaks of, he says, even the mystery, what he's revealing to us is even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. It's made manifest. Christ is manifest in his saints, he that is the resurrection and the life, to which God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory, our Lord. And so we're made content in our Lord through the Spirit of his grace as he wondrously grows us in love and faith and every good work by the Spirit in us. Paul wrote to the Philippians 4:5, saying, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Just like Martha, who went out to her Lord, who was at hand, who drew near to her. And as our Lord said to Martha then, so he says to us now in verse Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't be troubled. Don't bear that burden in yourself. Bring it to the Lord. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see how the Lord grows his people to go to the Lord, to petition the Lord, to lean on the Lord, that we're drawn to the Lord. We need him more and more because he is the one who comforts us. Not the deliverance from the trial, not seeing it all unfold the way we thought it should unfold in our flesh, but through it, in spite of it, we see the glory, the life, the salvation, the light of our Lord and Savior. We see that he's everything, everything to me, and that he is my life, not this flesh, not these things. Now, many who profess Christ, there's many people that believe there will be a resurrection of the dead. And that's true. It's the power of God which raises men from the dead. That gives life. In that day, all will raise from the dead. Turn over to Job chapter 19. Job 19. In verse 25 and 27. Job says, I know. I'll give you another second. Job 19, verse 25. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And the psalmist encourages our hearts in Psalm 17:15, saying, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Look over in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Here the prophet says, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. Brethren, we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so there shall be a resurrection of the dead. And all for whom Christ came to save, they shall be transformed like unto their glorious Savior, for we shall see him as he is. But before that glorious day occurs, we shall know our God in spirit and in truth, because he gives his Holy Spirit, who resurrects his dead children, those who are spiritually dead, by giving us spiritual life, making us born again, firstborn of Adam's corrupt seed that cannot save, and then born of Christ's incorruptible seed, which cannot sin and cannot perish, can never die, because Christ is our life. John 11, 25 and 26, Christ makes us to know, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So when you go through great trials, which strip you of your fleshly strength and your vain confidences, one thing remains sure. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. They will not forsake their Lord. They will not deny him. They will not apostatize from the Lord Jesus Christ, for his seed remaineth in him, in his child. And he cannot sin. He cannot turn from the Lord, because he's born of God. That new man in you can never be turned from Christ and will never perish, because Christ is our life. And Paul said, he said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Even that work which we saw Martha, where we saw the fruit of faith and the fruit of her going and petitioning the Lord, looking to the Lord, trusting the Lord in all things. As it's written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Forever. You that are the Lord's people, you live forever in Christ because of Christ. It's his righteousness. We're born of his seed. That's 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 9. So through every pruning and every humbling and every trial that strips us of what we are in this flesh, that corrupt, rotten flesh, we by his gracious power die to self, that our Lord be made all to us. Paul would say it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, 11 and 12, when he said, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. It's for the good of the Lord's people. Our Lord performs his operation of grace in his people to make us abundantly fruitful in his kingdom. And where we bear fruit, we'll bear more fruit through his purging, through his pruning that he skillfully, wondrously does as he sees fit, and as we're made to be glad in it and thankful for it. And so he did this for Martha. He did it for the whole family that was there. He did it for his disciples that were there, and he does it for us today as well. Every word, every message he gives you, every trial he brings into your life and brings you into, every fire, every flood, every overflowing water, you will not be destroyed by it. Though your flesh be stripped, though you be broken down in the flesh and made weak in yourselves, you shall see and know that Christ is all, that he is our strength, that he is the resurrection. He is the life. He's in me and why I believe my God and trust him through it all. Though he slay this flesh, yet will I trust him, Job said. And that's what he brings all his people to do, to trust in the Lord, our resurrection and our life. Martha then responded in verse 27. She said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So Martha was blessed by Christ, and she believed him. Now all people shall be raised from the dead. All people. In that day, when the Lord commands, all people shall be raised from the dead, and all his people shall be given life and faith and salvation and hope in him. They shall be raised from spiritual death to know their Lord. They shall be called out of the darkness of the grave and brought into the light of their Savior who loved them and gave himself for them. And so he does the work. He grows us. He keeps us. He reveals himself to us. And he is your salvation. He's your righteousness and your life. Believest thou this? Believe him. Amen.